Welcome to Organize with Grace. This podcast is for you if you are ready to embrace quality over quantity later in life as you make decisions about keeping only the things you love, need, and use. Here's another episode. Caregiving, especially to an adult loved one, is no easy feat. In 2020, 41.8 million Americans provided unpaid care to an adult over the age of 50. That's nearly 17% of the adult population. And I believe that they need as much support as ever. And this is where my guest, Jenny Layton, comes in. We will get to know Jenny throughout the interview, but what she will provide for you are practical tips on how to fill your cup. And this phrase simply means to replenish our stores of mental, emotional, and physical energy. Now, you may think to yourself, I don't have time for this, but I would love for you to take a breather and learn how you might be able to fill your cup in ways that you may not have considered. So stay tuned. Welcome to another episode of Organize with Grace, and I am thrilled to be speaking with Jenny Layton today, and really speaking to all of you, or to those who this may apply to or soon to apply to, about caregiving, whether it be for your partner or for for your parent. But before that, I want to introduce Jenny. And I want to try something new, and I want to ask her, well, first of all, welcome, Jenny, to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. So I want to ask you, Jenny, a fun question. What are you, and we want to get to know you better as this podcast episode goes on, but I would love to ask this question. What are you enjoying right now? It could be about anything, you know, what is it that you're enjoying?
Well, I don't know how fun this is going to make me sound. I never thought I would say this. I'm a pretty quick, get things done, move fast kind of person. But as I have gotten a little older, I'm in my mid, late 40s now, I'm realizing how important it is to slow down. And yeah. So I've recently been practicing more meditation, and it is just changing my life. And I never thought I'd have the patience to do that, but I'm loving it. So I'm actually making time each morning to sit and meditate. And at first, like 1 minute was such a challenge to get my mind to hold still. I'm up to like 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes, and it is amazing. So that's kind of what is doing it for me right now. So that's what I've got to share.
Nice. That is so cool. I love my morning time routine myself, and just being able to slow down. Cause as women, I think, you know, we hit the ground running and we are off and taking care of 20 different things, and which most of us, you know, as women, we can handle, but we do need that downtime, you know? And so thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Cool. So Jenny, so please tell us about yourself and how the Happy Gal got started.
Okay, well, I live in Utah with my husband. I have 5 kids. A few of them have left and are living on their own. So I have 3 teenage girls right now. So that's an adventure to be raising them right now. And I love this business that I do, the Happy Gal. And really, when I think about how did the Happy Gal get started, it was so much earlier than I even realized. Because when I was a first-time mom with a new baby, I found myself wanting something else in my life, just needing something that was a little bit about me. So I started working as a consultant for a direct sales company and kind of owned my own business, quote unquote. And I loved it. I didn't even know how good I could be at something like that. It was a brand new thing. And I just was thriving with that part of my life. But what I noticed is the more successful I got with that business, the more compromised I got with my family life and my home and my personal life. It was like I had 1 foot on the path of my business and 1 foot on the path of my family and my home. And the further I got down one path, it just was stretching me too far. And it got to the point where I just felt like I've got to pick because I can't keep growing at the same rate with my business and my family and my home. And again, just feel so compromised with really what ultimately was the most important to me, which was my family and my home. And so I decided to stop working with that company and to let my business go and to really figure out how I could create systems and manage that part of a family and a home and still have time left over for something that meant a lot to me. And so I didn't know it, but the strategies that I was developing then would be what would help me return back to a business about 15 years later, because I realized that it had just become so easy for me to automate the running of a home and a family. I mean, obviously, it still takes time and work, but that creative energy, I was not solving problems and fighting fires all day, every day. I had it down and had plenty of time to do something else I loved, which is helping other women now learn how to do this in their lives. So I help women organize their homes. I help them manage their time. And I also help them organize their mindset or have a stronger mindset. And those three approaches are so important and really are what give women space to either run a business or have a career or work at a hobby, or as we've talked about with your audience, take care of other people, which really is not just exclusive to someone who's quote unquote a caregiver, right? Because as women, we are always giving care to everybody. So whether that's a bunch of little kids or a few little kids, or if it is an aging parent or a spouse, to be able to have time in your life for that and not feel like you're letting everything else in your life go, including your own self-care, is really quite an art, and it's one that I feel like I've got a pretty good handle on. So I love to share that with other people.
Well, thank you. And I know already that, the people that have met you are really blessed by what you have to share. So,
Exactly.
yeah, thank you for sharing that. And being a mom of five, and speaking of self-care, what does me time, or what has it looked like for you, as of late? Or, how did you come to like realize, you know what, this is what I need right now? And then, and really, put it into action with your, with your routine.
Right. It's like it's a great idea, but actually pulling it off is a whole other story, right? Well, I think this conversation starts with recognizing the importance of that me time that you're referring to. I know as we talked a little bit before the interview and in emails, you brought up the analogy of an oxygen mask. Like on the airplane, they go through it every time. If there's a problem, put on your own oxygen mask first before you help somebody else. So we know that analogy. Another one I love is just you can't pour water from an empty pitcher. And we try
That's
to
right.
anyway, I mean, it's so easy to minimize our own needs and to tell ourselves we'll get to it later and that we don't have time. But the truth is that when we are trying to pour water from an empty pitcher, we run out and we can't show up the way we want to for other people. And so I think the first thing that happens when me time becomes something that you really want to prioritize is you just have to realize that you cannot keep going without it. And you have to just kind of put that stake in the ground and say, I'm going to do this. I am worth it. And it's what is going to keep everyone else going. I like to tell women, you are the quarterback. The game doesn't happen without you. And so you've got to really ensure you're like ice in that arm, and taking care of it. Because if you let that get away from you, then you can't keep it going. And so once you kind of put that stake in the ground, like I was talking about, I think that's the point where you have to look and say, okay, when am I going to make this happen? Because this is a
When?
non-negotiable thing for me. And so
That's a big
that,
question for my audience is when are we going to
right.
do this?
Right. I know time is such a challenge. And, it's like another reason why I include it in the happy gal, because living an organized life means you've got to know how to make time and manage your time. And I like how in the question you asked me, how are you making time for yourself now? Or how did you make time for yourself earlier on when you had a younger family? And I think you hit the nail right on the head that this is an evolving process. As long as it is a priority, then you're going to have to figure out when am I going to get that done? And then you're going to have to recognize that next month or over the summer or next year or when your baby goes to kindergarten or when your high schooler graduates from high school, you or when you retire, that time is going to have to shift. And as long as it's non-negotiable, then you're going to look for kind of that is the first priority of my day. And here's, we're going to throw another metaphor into the mix. Okay.
Let's do it.
I'm the metaphor.
I like metaphors.
Well, you know, and this is just a very popular one, but you know, the one where if you're trying to fit a lot into a glass, you have to put the big rocks in first, and then you can put the sand and the gravel in. And those big rocks, of course, represent priorities. And when you recognize that, you know, my well-being, showing up, feeling good in my body, being awake, having good energy is what keeps everyone else going. That is the first big rock that gets to go into your day. So what is that going to look like? Well, it just depends. But one thing I can tell you is there will always be something, no matter what stage of life you're in, there's always something that's going to try to get in front of it. It's going to try to sneak in, whether it's so tired from the babies and I can't get up, or, you know, someone's calling me and really needs some help, or, you know, my kids are in school all day, so I've got a lot of time, but I can tell you how easily it is for my business to sneak in and say, you know, I need this extra time. I can't do it. And I just have to come back every time to that commitment to myself that I'm going to make that time. And I'd actually, you know, as we in the interview, I'd like to maybe get into a little more about how we can make that time. Because I think that's a big question for everyone. So we can talk about that if you'd like to.
Yes, please. Because I'm all about how does this even look like in real life? I ask that when someone gives me this, you know, like, you know, an answer. What does that look like in someone's everyday life and the practicalness of things? And so I would love to get into that, Jenny. So as I, you know, for those who are finding themselves in the role of caregiver, of some type, especially, you know, either to an ailing partner or a parent, definitely let's dig in into some practical tips as to what they can do to still prioritize themselves. Again, without feeling guilty about it.
Right.
There's that guilt thing. So we'll cover that, but let's get into, you know, let's get into the practical. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
great,
this is my favorite question to get asked. How do I get it done? I love to help people organize their space. And that's a really important part. We're actually going to talk about that, I hope, a little bit later in the interview, because I think that's an important piece too. But the how did it get it done, how to follow through, how to be consistent, I feel like is my sweet spot. So I'm really glad we get a chance to talk about that.
Go for it.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, right. I'm learning myself. So
great. Yeah. We'll all come away with something. So the first thing I like to call this time power hour, and that is a little bit of a cliche. You may have heard of it before, and it doesn't even have to really last an hour. It's just a fun little title, but just the idea that there is a space of time every day that you're investing in yourself and you're empowering yourself. I just love that term, power hour. And really, once something has a name, then it becomes a lot more real and it's something you can put into your life. So just even calling it that, I think, is a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little more about, you know, what that looks like. But the very first step after you name it, which you can call it what you want, but power hour is a great one if you don't have a title for it, picking a regular time. Now, here's the thing. A lot of the work that I do at the Happy Gal is helping you work with your brain and your mindset. And your brain loves, loves, loves anything that's easy and predictable. And the problem with just trying to fit self-care in or power hour in at any time during the day is your brain is just always trying to solve for when can I do it? What's most important? What is it going to look like? How is it going to last? And your brain hates that. And so the moment your brain has to start working really hard on figuring those things out, you start to feel overwhelmed, distracted, procrastinate, low energy.
So true.
Mm-hmm. So we just want to eliminate that decision fatigue for the brain by saying, let's just have a regular time. It's just non-negotiable. Like it happens like clockwork. We've already made all the decisions around it. And what's really amazing is you have this space of time for just a little bit where willpower lasts. And then after a few weeks, willpower kind of runs out. And I know everyone's experienced that. You know, you have a new
year.
Resolve.
Happy New Year.
Right, right. Mid-January, coming into February, it's gone. But you know what? It's not a problem that willpower fuels us for a while because we need it while our brain's getting settled in. Once we've done something consistently enough, the same time in the same way, it starts to habituate or create a habit and it becomes more automatic. And so it's really great because about the time your willpower runs out, that habit has clicked into place in your brain. And I have some other strategies and techniques we'll talk a little bit about today, and I can let listeners know where to find more about this. But I just love
Definitely.
that beautiful relationship that sometimes we frown upon willpower and say it can't be all willpower, but it actually plays a pretty important role. And that's what happens when we pick a regular time, is we're starting to set our brain up for success. We're using that willpower, and then after 2, 3 weeks, when we've done things consistently, it just becomes more automatic. So I think that's the first step, is pick a regular time.
So good. So good.
The
Oh, yeah.
second thing you need to do is you need to take the guesswork for your brain out by knowing what is the plan. Like, what am I going to do for self-care? And let's break that down for just a second, because it can sound overwhelming or intimidating. It really can look like anything you want. I have found there's kind of that trio of mind, body, spirit, when we're kind of connecting with those themes, how that tends to create a really balanced person. My personal favorite is body, like caring for your body, moving your body. You are creating so much momentum, because as you do that, you've got all sorts of feel-good hormones happening, and it raises your energy level. So I'm a big proponent of your power hour, including something to do with body care. It could be a shower. That's a beautiful way to take care of your body as well. But if you can work some exercise in, I'm just thinking, you think about a day where you don't leave your house, or when your mind is just so consumed with everything you need to do. And if you can take 20 or 30 minutes and get outside and feel the sun on your skin and some fresh, deep breaths, and you're walking, and if you're talking with a friend at the same time, and you just think about that type of refresh that you get. And so if you can look at some type of movement as part of your power hour, I think that's going to serve you a lot. But whatever you decide to do, whether it's, some spiritual connections, if you pray, meditate, read scripture, read something, self-improvement, if you are moving your body, if you're taking a shower, if you're journaling, whatever that is for you. When you say power hour and your brain knows when you're doing it and what it is you're doing, your chance of follow through is so much better. And that's going to go a long way towards creating that automatic habit that's not relying on self, control and willpower.
Yeah, Jenny, I love the way you have simplified it because I don't know about you, but I have this like these lofty goals, right? Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna exercise for like 2 hours and but it doesn't even have to be that long. And so lately it's just been like, you know what? If I can put in 15 minutes, all
Yes.
good, right? And within that power hour. And so I love that you have given us like just that anybody really can do movement. We can move. I mean, if we don't have the any like physical disabilities, I mean, we even if we did, you said take a deep breath.
Right.
Okay, we can all do that.
Yeah. Can I even
No
just
problem,
stretch,
right?
right? Or
And
can I do a
stretch.
few yoga poses, or, and that I think is
Love
one of the
that.
really important things, is as you work to be consistent with it, it is critical you have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. I think it was Venus or Serena Williams that said something like, I have plan A, and if that doesn't work out, I have plan B, plan C, plan D. And I just love that, because we see the success that those sisters have accomplished in their life with tennis, and there's a formula there. And it's that not every day is going to be sunny. Not every day are you going to feel good enough to go out for a walk or to do whatever workout you do. So what's your plan B? Do you have a treadmill indoor that you can use? No treadmill? Okay, what's plan C? Do you have some stretches you like to do? Is there a website with some low impact workouts that you can choose from? Do you only have a few minutes? This is a big one. If you don't have 20 minutes, do you have 10? If you don't have 10, do you have 5? Do you have 2? And can that include just doing some stretching? And, kind of jumping around a little bit, something to get your heart rate up, whatever that is, so that you still keep a bookmark in that routine and it doesn't get away from you, so that the next thing you know, it hasn't been 4 or 5 days, a week, 2 weeks, and you haven't done it. That can be really debilitating, and also kills that momentum that we were talking about, where we're leveraging that willpower to create a habit. So be prepared with plan B, plan C, plan D. And make sure that that consistency is there. And I think with those to start with, that can go a long way with establishing that power hour that helps with that me time.
Nice. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you so much for that. That's so cool. So yeah, I mean, you, my dear listeners, can start like today, you know, right after this episode, you know, you can email me, tell me what you're going to do. And I'll be like cheering you on. Okay.
Right. Just sit down and just review. What's that regular time? What's your plan?
Yeah.
Your plan A, B, and C. And that will go a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so nice. So nice. And you've covered my next question. That's so good. Now, if that time happens where the momentum is lost, you know, what to do? And without feeling like a failure or feeling guilty, like, oh, I've gone so long doing my, you know, power hour and then life happens. What to do then?
Well, actually, that's a great question that covers a few things. I think earlier you asked, how do you deal with like the guilt that you feel sometimes by taking that time for myself?
Yeah.
Or what I want listeners to start thinking about are, what are the conversations that start happening in your head? What are the stories you start telling yourself when you get off track or when you haven't even started to begin with? This is a huge piece of what I do at the Happy Gal, that mindset piece that I was talking about.
Yeah.
What I want you to start paying attention to are the stories you're telling yourself that start with those thoughts. I can't because, or I'm never going to be good at this because, or I don't have the time, or, you know, I know for younger moms, a good mom, you know, doesn't take the time to do these things because I should be spending it with my kids. I want you to really question those thoughts and ask yourself, what are those thoughts doing for you? Where is that story leading you? And I think thought work is something that's up and coming, you know, as we need to get a little more conscious and aware. Technology, I think, has done a really good job at like dulling our senses and, you know, making us kind of zone out. We need to become more aware of what we're thinking, because there's that old saying, thoughts lead to words, which lead to actions, which lead to habit and to character and to destiny. You've heard that quote before. If you
Love
reverse
it.
engineer kind of your results you're having right now, if you reverse engineer what you're doing far enough, it starts with a thought. And so getting control of those thoughts that you're having is critical, whether you've fallen off the wagon, whether you're having a hard time getting on the wagon, even the story that there's a wagon in the first place, all of those things, I think, start with thoughts. So I think maybe we could spend a couple of minutes talking about thoughts to see
Yes,
what
please.
value that could bring listeners. So I think the first thing I want to just recommend is, when you have a thought, don't automatically just accept that it's true. You know, I don't have time. It may seem very true, but the question you want to ask yourself is, well, do I like the results that come from this? Do I like not having enough time? You know, or do you want to have a different result? Because if you want to have a different result, you can try a different thought. You can try a thought of, I think I have a couple of minutes and I think I can maybe build up from there. And so that's the first step I would say, is just to start thinking, you know, noticing those thoughts and then asking yourself, is it really true? Do I really like this outcome?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking about what we're thinking
Yeah.
about.
Yeah.
And sometimes life goes so fast that I go back to what you were saying about like, your routine now is like slowing down and meditating. And yeah, when you first start, it's pretty painful. But as you get used to it, you're like, I can't wait, because I want to know, why did I say that? Why did I think that? You know, and give yourself the grace, you know, to discover what that is without, you know, badgering yourself, I guess, or, you know.
Right. Yeah, that reflection and that time can be so important. And I just think this is the key to us really being able to have life look a little more like what we want it to look like. There are givens, there are circumstances in our lives that can't be altered. You know, if you have someone you're caring for, or if you're listening to this and you just have, you know, a job that's really demanding, or you have young children, you know, wherever you're at in your life, there are always going to be things But the big thing we want to look at is how can I still create the life that I want? And there is so much wiggle room when you start to examine your thoughts. And so again, the first step is just ask myself, like, notice when you're not feeling great about something and try to pinpoint that thought that preceded that feeling that you're having. And ask yourself, is this true or do I want it to be true? And if it's not, the big tip here is have a turnaround thought at the ready to replace it with. And it doesn't have to be the opposite. I think that's the thing that gets us a little off track sometimes is we have to think, you know, if you're thinking like, oh, I have no energy and no time. If you turn around and say, I have all the energy and the time in the world, like you're not going to sell yourself on that story. I mean, that's
not
a
so
great
realistic
outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just almost that toxic perfectionism that happens a little bit, or toxic positivity, I guess, that happens. And so we want to look for a statement that's still feels true, but is a lot more optimistic, right? So, you know, I am excited to find time that I didn't know was there, or I am open to the idea that I can increase in energy. And just even turning it like that just allows your brain to start to seek for solutions that you couldn't see before when you were too caught in the paradigm of I don't have time, or I don't have energy, or everything I have to do goes to giving to other people. Those are just so limiting and disempowering. And so let's just catch those thoughts. Let's examine them, ask if they're true, if it's what we want. And then I love having that turnaround thought at the ready. And so I would just recommend is listen to this episode, maybe download it, come back to it so that you can, first of all, you know, craft your power hour, like we were just talking about with some of those questions. But as you want to examine your thoughts, craft a turnaround thought, you know, even the I am open to believing, I am open to changing, or I am finding bits of time here and there, or I feel myself progressing in this way. It is crazy the difference when you flip your thoughts around like that and just the instant possibilities your brain can see. So do a little writing with this one and come up with something. Post it on your fridge. Text it to yourself, you know, look for ways to remind yourself of that so that it's at the ready, because in the moment, it's going to feel real hard to come up with it. It's pretty hard to sell yourself on something other than what you're feeling. So it has to be kind of premeditated and a tool that you're ready to pull out of your back pocket when you need it.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for all of those really tangible, really practical things that, that women can do, people can do. Men too, you know, and it doesn't, you know, it goes across the board. But specifically caregivers who have a lot on their plate. I have a friend who, you know, she is the narrative, right? You know, I joke with her. She always says, I have so much on my plate. I have so much on my plate. And then so I hear her, you know, say this again and again, but she has changed her narrative, and she has, you know, her life reflects a different thing now, you know, and she's like, I can just focus on one thing at a time. And so Jenny, I want to take a little bit of a turn and ask you, I mean, you created, you know, you have a community, and how important is that, right? To have people around you who would are going through something similar and who would support you, because as caregivers, I feel like it's a very, you get kind of isolated after a while. Like I've talked to my friends who are, you know, caring for someone, and, you know, how can we reach out when we feel like, you know, I mean, I love that you're introducing your community, because I feel like, hey, if this is going to work for one of my or many of my listeners, go see Jenny, you know? So,
right.
So, I guess my question is like, what is probably the easiest way to, you know, be able to connect in addition to, you know, I think maybe the easiest is your own friends, like, you know, kind of fostering friendships with the ones that you like have, or if you don't have that, you know, what would you suggest is like, as far as a caregiver reaching out?
I love the question about community. That's such a good one. I love the metaphor that if you're trying to move a big rock on your own, it's takes more strength than you have. But if you have several other people helping you move that rock, it becomes a realistic thing. And I think that's what a community does for you, is it just fills in the strengths that you don't have and times that you feel low. So creating that community, I think, is really important. So how do we do that? And I think you're right. I think friends and family are great places to look and to start. But I love the community that you've created here within your podcast. As
Thank
you've got
you.
A lot of people listening to this, I think it's just really, there's no replacement for people that really understand what you're going through. Friends and family who love you but are not also caretakers cannot relate to all of those moments that you feel like you're at the end of your rope, or you feel so lost and forgotten in the shuffle, or you're overwhelmed by the rest of your life that you still need to manage, but you just don't have the time to. So to have a community that makes you feel normal, makes you feel like you're not doing anything wrong, is such a priceless thing. And so within your own podcast that you've created here, I think there's a great opportunity for that community. I don't know what other type of resources exist for caregivers in terms of, you know, Facebook groups and local groups and things like that. But I do think you just look at the strength that comes with, again, that metaphor where you've got several people pushing a rock to move it. You're going to have a lot more success because you're not relying on your own strength. And Charles Duhigg is the author of The Power of Habit. And he talks about how when you have a community of people who are helping you, you are have so much more success in maintaining good habits. And so many, many studies, many different contexts, just affirm how important that community is. And so, I would think, you know, Facebook is a really easy place, especially for a caregiver who can't maybe get out of the house as often. But just looking for other caregivers, I think, is going to give you that support that nobody else quite understands.
Nice, nice. Thank you, Jenny. And with that, I want to ask, as we're wrapping up, how can my audience find you if they're finding that, you know, I'm really resonating with Jenny? And so how can they best find you?
Well, I really hope they will. I would love to stay connected with listeners today. We didn't yet touch on organizing your space, which is, I know, a huge stumbling
block.
Let's
do that.
You want to still
do it? Yeah,
okay,
let's still
do it.
It'll
take a couple minutes.
That's fine.
Okay, so we'll talk about it briefly, and then I will answer that question on how they can get more, because there are so many great tools that I would love to share. I think when we have chaos in our space, it just immediately reflects on how we feel inside. I like to say external clutter creates internal clutter, and it matters the space that you're living in. It doesn't mean it has to be perfectly organized or beautifully decorated, but to have some order in your space automatically just opens up space inside your mind and your heart for other parts of life that matter. And it can feel overwhelming if you don't have a lot of time. And especially if you feel like you have a lot of clutter and you've never, quote unquote, been organized or loved housework. So I try to break it down and make it really simple for my students and my clients. And it always boils down to the same concept. When you don't know where to start, when you just have a little bit of time, you always start with this area that I call home base. Home base is that area in your home that's like the barometer for how organized and clean your home feels. You know, you may have storage rooms and a back office that have piles and are overwhelming, and your bedroom may have a lot of things in it. But like, where is the heart of the home where you spend the majority of your time, where you need to function out of? And how does that feel when the heart of the home, which usually is the kitchen and family room, it could be different for other people, but a lot of times it's that kitchen family room area, when that's in order, how much more likely are you to feel like cooking a meal or getting through the bills or working on your to-do list or even just feeling more productive? That place is the highest impact in terms of how you feel and your motivation. And so it becomes the first priority, and we want to build that into a routine. Just like we were talking about with Power Hour, how you are, you want to have a regular time, have a plan, be consistent. We can do the same thing with our home. And so we call it, again, home base. You can tell I'm big on naming different routines.
I like it.
Yeah.
Easy to remember. I like
it. Have a home base that is well defined, and you know it's, you know, just these steps. Like I unload the dishwasher, I clear the counters, I load it, and then I pick up kind of surrounding clutter. We just keep it really simple. Not, you know, and I scrub the floors and I wipe out the fridge and I vacuum the carpet. Like, we don't want to do that because, again, your brain's going to be like, that's too much, I'm out. You know, we want to keep it simple. But we just kind of come up with what is that routine. And as we implement that, we just find we're so much more capable to do the other things in our life that we need to do, but also just that supportive space where we feel like we have the room to maybe work on other things. It's just really strategic to focus on that space. And so, you know, that's a really great summary of some of the work that I do to start with students and with coaching clients. Again, I help them organize their space, manage their time, and work on a strong mindset so they're not limiting themselves and working against themselves. And so I really hope listeners
Love
will come
it.
Find me.
Yay.
I have a podcast. It's called Life Organized with Jenny Layton. So hopefully you'll come find me there. That's a really good
Which
place
I'm
to
following.
Get a feel. Yeah, I know. I'm so excited. That's a good place to get a feel for the work that I do. I have a website, The Happy Gal. And of course, I'm on social media, Facebook and Instagram at JL, The Happy Gal. And that's a great place to have conversations with me as well. So if you want to message me, I love to get talking about things there with you. And then if there's a place that you really want to kind of dig in and get started, if you like this conversation and want, you know, a little more support or accountability or detail on how to really plug in and see some results, the place you absolutely want to start is the Get Organized Bootcamp that I offer. It's normally $49. I'll give a little coupon code for $10 off, but it's just these little training videos that come. It's a 3-day thing. It's really fast and simple, but in that I teach the 3 core routines of an organized life, and it's going to cover these 3 things. It's going to cover your space, it's going to cover your mind, and it's going to cover your time. And it is absolutely the foundation of moving forward and creating a life that you love. So we'll maybe in the notes leave a link to that.
For sure. Yes.
BC for Bootcamp BC10 would give you $10 off of that. So we can put that in the notes as well. But yeah, the Life Organized podcast and that bootcamp are really great places to learn more and to engage and get started. And, you know, again, kind of build that sense of community, you know, in this organizing vein.
So good, Jenny. Oh my goodness. This is so, so amazing. This has been a wonderful talk with you, and thank you for all that you've shared. And I hope that, you know, we can continue to connect, and I will definitely include that information in the podcast description. And so I really appreciate you for coming out and taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you. And I just want to give a shout out to your listeners. Whatever kind of care you're giving, you deserve not just a big high five, but a big hug. I mean,
yes.
The world needs people like you, and it's an underrepresented and underthanked population. And I just want to take a minute to just let you know how much you matter and how much you getting up every day and doing what you do matters. And so just grateful for the opportunity to connect with this amazing audience.
Thank you, Jenny. Love it. And I will talk with you soon again, hopefully.
Thank you.
Take care.